Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Pei Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked off Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur at the Mishnah that you'll find three lines from the top of Pei Dalid. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side under our Nosei, the topic heading that introduces this section. The topic heading reads, Chalokim Shel HaPesach, different sections of an animal of the Korban Pesach, which is either a goat or a sheep, Sheloi Nimnim Alehem, that one is not entitled to be counted toward or join up with regard to the eating of the Korban Pesach. As we've mentioned in the past, there is a mitzvah involved in eating of the meat of the Korban Pesach. So one has to join up to a group of people, to form a group of people that will eat a specific Korban Pesach. So you have a specific group assigned to a specific Korban Pesach. The part of the animal that you can eat and get credit or fulfill the mitzvah of eating Korban Pesach involves the majority of the different parts of the animal. However, there are parts that are not considered meat. In other words, if one were to join up to eat the fur of a sheep, obviously he's not going to get credit because that's not considered the meat. There are additional parts that the Mishnah emphasizes or speaks about that are also not considered meat. Of course, the Mishnah is not going to mention hair; that is terribly obvious. However, there are parts of the animal that might have been considered a meat, but we are informed here that they are not, and hence you would not be able to fulfill your mitzvah of Korban Pesach eating with those parts. We add in our note, in anticipation of the Gemara, Bagemara Rabo Malis Stira Bein Horesha Vaseifa Demasnisen. In the Gemara, you will find that Rabo raises a contradiction between the first part and the second part of the Mishnah. And in the continuation of the Gemara, there will be two answers that are featured to resolve this. And those are marked with triangles, and you can see under our Mivne heading, they are Tirutzim L'Stira Hanal, answers to the above contradiction. So now the Mishnah. Kol Hane'echal B'Shor HaGodol, any part of an animal that in a large adult ox would be eaten. So, ye'ochel b'gdi harach, that same part, that same section of meat, is acceptable for eating in the case of the young goat or the lamb that are brought as the Korban Pesach. However, there are parts of the animal that when the animal becomes adult, so it becomes hard and inedible, so in the young version of the animal, in the case of the goat or the lamb, that section, even though it's soft, but if left to become adult, it will become hard, so even in its soft state, it's not considered, it's soft and possibly, we'll say, soft and edible state, one still will not fulfill his mitzvah of Korban Pesach eating with those parts. The Roshei Knofayim v'haschusim. Roshei Knofayim is the top part of the shoulder, and the schusim are other cartilage parts of the animal. Let us take a look at the Rashi on the Mishnah. Kol hanecha b'shor hagodol, shekvar hukshe kol ma she'osid lahakshos bo, in the adult form, so it's become as hard as it maximally will become. It's reached its full maturity. So you can establish whether it's something that is edible or not. Ye'ochel b'gdi horach, roi lachilo b'pesach ben shmoyni yomim, a korban must be a minimum of 8 days of age since its birth, so you can then eat it, that part, that when it's adult, it would be edible, so you can eat it in the animals that's suitable for a korban pesach. However, that which in the adult ox you would not be able to eat, ein nimnin olav bepesach. You can't join together with a group for eating korban pesach and eat that those parts. Afal pi she'ach shevrachu, even though right now they are soft, osid lahakshes b'sof, they will become hard. V'roshei knofayim, Rashi continues, v'aschusim shekoren, that word, a French word, she'b'rosh gaf ha'kosef, which is the top of the shoulder of the animal, v'aschusim, shar haschus shebo, there's other parts of the animal that are cartilaginous, gegon tenucha oizen, v'aschusim, the ears and the ribs, the small ribs at the bottom of the spine. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Rabbah Rumi. Rabbah raises a contradiction. Tanan. We learned in the Reish on the first part of our Mishnah, Kol hanechal b'shor hagodol ye'ochel b'gdi horach. Those parts of a large ox, an adult ox, can be eaten. So the equivalent in the young animal that's used for the Korban Pesach, the kid of a goat or a lamb, you can eat and fulfill your mitzvah. V'she'eno nechal lo. So the inference from that would be that parts of an adult ox that are not edible, so in the lamb or goat, you will not be able to fulfill your mitzvah. And then we say state the latter part. The end of the Mishnah says, Roshei knofayim v'aschusim. The heads, the tops of the shoulders, or the cartilaginous parts of the lamb or goat, you can join to be part of the chabur of the group for the mitzvahs, for mitzvahs achilas pesach. The hohani, these parts, the top of the shoulders or the cartilaginous parts, lo misakli b'shor hagodol, in an adult ox, they're not edible. Maybe very well that in a young lamb or a kid, they are edible, but not so in the case of the adult version. Now, if that be the case, so how can the Mishnah say that you are Yotzei when the Reisha said, if it's not Nechal, you're not Yotzei? Yotzei means you don't fulfill. Elo tanoihi v'hochi kotoni. So the first approach is that this issue is a machlokes tanoim. And the Mishnah is to be understood as follows. Kohanecha b'shor hagodol, ye'ochel b'gdi horach, v'she'eno necha lo. Those parts of the animal that are eaten in an adult ox, so you would be able to fulfill your Pesach obligation with the lamb and goat of the equivalent sections. If it's not edible in the shor hagodol, like the knofayim and the schusim, so you will not fulfill the mitzvah in those parts when eating the lamb or goat, which is the korban pesach. The yesh omrim, and here you see this is a second Tanaic opinion, af roshei knofayim vaschusim. The second opinion says that you can fulfill your Pesach obligations with those different cartilaginous parts. Now, and the Rashi explains that the reasoning is that in an adult animal, in the large matured ox, even these cartilaginous parts, if you subject them to extensive cooking, Rashi refers to shlika bishul yeser, extensive cooking, even in the adult ox, they could be eaten. Hence, in the goat or lamb that you choose for your Korban Pesach, go ahead and eat those parts and fulfill your mitzvah sachivas Pesach. Rava Omar. Notice, this is a second triangle, and he does not present the Mishnah as referring or reflecting two opinions, but rather, it's a case where the end of the Mishnah explains the earlier part of the Mishnah. Mahein kotoni, vahochi kotoni. The structure is a mahein kotoni. What is it It's a what is it structure as follows. Kolanecha b'shor godol b'shloka, anything that, any part of an adult ox that could be eaten, even if it requires extensive cooking to make it edible, ye'ochel b'gdi horach b'tzli. So then you can eat that in the Korban Pesach, which is a young goat or a lamb that's prepared through roasting. Uma hein, and what are those parts that in a shor hagodol, in order for them to become edible, it would need extensive cooking? Those parts are rashe knofayim vaschus. Notice this is the mahein expression that we saw two lines above, with Rava saying the structure is a mahein kotani, and that is what we're seeing over here. And what are the, what is the ratio referring to? Answer, referring to the rashe knofayim vaschusim. Tanya kavose de Rava, and we have a brisa, Tanaic source that supports Rava's approach, and it says kol hanecha b'shor hagodol b'shloka, anything eaten in an adult ox, even if it becomes edible through shloka, extensive cooking, ye'ochel b'gdi horach b'tzli, so you will eat it as part of the korban pesach, that's a young animal that's roasted. U'mohen, and what are those sections? Answer, roshei knofayim v'aschusim. The Gidim Horakin Nidonim Kebosar, and a further point that's mentioned in this source is that the Gidim Horakin, the soft sinuous material in an animal, is considered like bosar, is considered like meat, and you would be able to fulfill a Korban Pesach obligation by eating a kezias, an olive quantity of Gidim Horakin. The Gemara continues now with a new topic, though we just made reference to Gidin. This topic focuses on Gidin, sinuous material that, when as the animal matures, it gets harder. We, in eating the Korban Pesach, are eating an animal that's under a year in age. It's a young animal. So at that point, these parts are still soft. What is the din eating them now, even though eventually they become hard? On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, and we've written Gidim Shesoifon Lahakshos, sinuous material that eventually will become hard. Haim Nimnim Oleo de Pesach, or can you join together with it with regard to the Korban Pesach? Boser Hashto Azlinu, do we look at things as they are right now? If you look at it as it is right now, so it's soft, so it's considered like meat, and you would be able to join together to form a group and fulfill the obligation. Or do we look at things as they are in the future? In other words, we look at what is now based on what it is in the future. Kfar Koshim Lachilat. At that point, they are too hard for eating, too hard or too tough for eating. The Gemara, Itmar, Gidim Shesoifon Lahakshos, the sinuous material that eventually gets tough. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Nimnin Aleim BePesach. Rabbi Yochanan says, you can fulfill your Pesach obligation by eating that. Rabbi Reish Lakish Omar, Ein Nimnin Aleim BePesach. Reish Lakish says, you don't join together to a Korban Pesach with the anticipation of eating that. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Nimnin Aleim. Rabbi Yochanan says you do join together Boser Hashto Azlinon. Rabbi Yochanan says you establish halacha based on the way things appear right now. Reish Lakish Amar Ein Nimnin Aleihem. You don't join together your Korban Pesach group for eating that, the Gidim Shesof Lakshos, Boser Besof Azlinon. We look at things as they are in the future. We have a note on the side that indicates that Basof HaSugya, Rabbi Yochanan Choserbo, the Yisbur Kareish Lakish, by the end of this Sugya, we will find that Rabbi Yochanan turns around, he reverses his opinion, and ends up holding like Kareish Lakish the Boser Basof Azlinon. But that we'll have to see later in the Gemara. At this point, it appears as a Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan Kareish Lakish, how do you establish items based on their current status or based on what they will be in the future. Eisvei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish raises an objection from the following source: Kol Hanechal B'Shor Agodol. It's of course our Mishnah. Those parts of an animal that are eaten in the adult form, as they would be in an adult ox, Ye'ochel B'Gdi Harach. So they're suitable for fulfilling the Korban Pesach mitzvah, which is in the form of a gedi horach, a young kid, uma hein, and what are those sections? Roshei knofaim vaschusim. Hani in, those, yes. Avol gidin shesoifon lahak shoslo. So we're using the Mishnah as a reference point for making an inference. Namely, referring to the Mishnah, we learn Rosh Hashanah Chususim, those are suitable, but not the Gidim Shesof and Lahakshos, even though right now those Gidim are soft. So we see that you cannot be Yotze with something that is Soifan Lahakshos. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan responds, Tonohani Vuadin Lahanoch. The Mishnah features Rosh Hashanah Vaschusim, Roshei Knofayim Vaschusim, and the same law, the Hu Hadin, means the same law, will apply to the Gidim Shesoif and Lahakshos. Hani Mai Taimo, the Roshei Knofayim Vaschusim that the Mishnah features, why are they suitable for Mitzvahs Korban Pesach? Thomas Akli B'Shoah Golda B'Shloka. They are edible in the adult ox through Shloka, through extensive cooking. You can eat that which is mentioned in the Mishnah, the Roshei Knofayim and the Vaschusim. Hanoch Nami, the Gidim, these Gidim as well, Misakli B'Shoah Gadol B'Shloka. If you take the Gidim when they have become hard, but you subject them to extensive cooking, they become edible, they become softened. Amalei Rav Yirmiyah, the Rebbe Oven. Ki Azlis L'Kamei de Rebbe Avol, when you appear, when you go to Rebbe Avol, when you appear in front of Rebbe Avol, Rami Lei, raise the following question. Question Rami often is a reference to a contradiction. So here you'll see a long question marking. Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, would Rabbi Yochanan really have said, Gidim Shesoifan Lahakshos, Nimnim Aleim BePesach? Would he really have said that? Alma Basar Hashgazlinon. That would reflect an opinion that says you determine things by virtue of the way they are currently. The ha ba mine Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. On another occasion, Reish Lakish had asked Rabbi Yochanan a question, and this question has nothing to do with the topic of Korban Pesach. It has to do with a realm known as Tumas Ochlim, food. When it becomes tamei, so it on the number point one, it becomes itself tamei, and point two, does it have the ability to transmit tuma to other food items? In that context, Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, "Or haroish shel egel harach, mahu shiyatame?" Or a skin, the skin of a nursing calf. It's a young animal, and this is found. This discussion, by the way, is found in the perek in Chulin called Ha'or v'Haroitav. It's the name of a perek in Chulin. Rashi makes reference to that. What is the status of the skin of a young calf? Is it considered food in the vis-a-vis Tumas Ochen, the realm of Tuma as it affects food? The Omar Lo and Rabbi Yochanan said, Ein Metame. The soft skin of the young calf is not going to become a source of Tuma in the realm of Tumas Ochen. Why not? It's very soft now. That's because Alma Bosa Basofazlinon. We determine matters as they are at the end. We look at things as they are, as it will be in the future, and it becomes very tough. So right now, even though it's soft, it's not considered food. So with the markings, you can see we've emphasized that there appears to be a stira in Rabbi Yochanan. On the one hand, regarding the Gidim Shesoif and Lahakshos, he says we base ourselves on the way things are right now. And when it comes to the realm of Tumas Oichlin, he said that the Or Haroish Shel Egel Harach, even though right now it's edible, it's not considered Oich, it's not considered food, because eventually it will become hard. So, are we to see Rabbi Yochanan as self-contradictory? Amar Lei, so Rabbi Avoh responds, The Roma Locha, whoever presented this problem to you, and just to recall, Rabbi Yirmiya had presented this problem to Rabbi Ovin in order to present this to Rabbi Avo. So Rabbi Avo, hearing the problem from Rabbi Ovin, he says, whoever put you up to this, namely Rabbi Yirmiya, whoever presented this as a kasha, as a stira, lo chosh lekimche, literally, he's not careful about his flour. It means he's not precise or careful about his learning. He didn't research the matter enough. Ha hodar be Rabbi Yochanan legabi the Reish Lakish. We know that Rabbi Yochanan actually reversed his stance with regard to the Gidim Shesayfin Lahakshos and ends up holding like Reish Lakish that says you look at things as they will be in the future. Baser b'sof azlinan, and that's what he had answered with regard to the Or Ha'egel HaRach in the realm of Tumas Oichlin, that it's not mitame because soifan lahakshis. Now, what had happened, what really had happened, is that Reish Lakish, after hearing Rabbi Yochanan give his answer there in Perek Ha'or V'Rotev, that the Or Shel Egel HaRach is not mitame, you see, what happened is Reish Lakish asked on that answer from a Mishnah in Chulin, which mentions, and the Lashon of the Mishnah is quoted in Rashi, and you can, if you look in the Rashi, you can see there it says, a Mishnah there says, Eilu Shorosein Kibisorim, the Mishnah lists a number of cases where the or, the skin, has a din of the meat, meaning that it's considered something edible, and amongst the things that are mentioned, or Horosh Shel Egel HaRach, you find reference to the skin of the nursing calf, the young calf. So from that Mishnah, Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, you see that you look at the way the thing they are right now. So in that discussion, Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish, don't ask on me from that Mishnah, which indicates that you look at things the way they are right now. The Omar Le, we read in our Gemara, after the Gemara said, Hahadar be Rabbi Yochanan Legabi de Reish Lakish, the Omar Le, Rabbi Yochanan responded to Reish Lakish over there in Maseches Chulin to say, Al takniteni, don't infuriate me, don't raise problems for what I answered you based on that Mishnah in Ha'or V'Roitev, in that Perek, that seem to indicate that you look at the way things are right now. Why don't ask on me from that Mishnah? Shebeloshon Yochid Ani Shoina Oisa. That Mishnah, which indicates that you look at the way things are right now, that is taught as an individual, an isolated opinion, as opposed to the majority that would disagree. So, as the dust clears in this particular discussion, what comes out? What comes out is that Rabbi Yochanan ends up reversing his position that was stated by the Gidim Shesayfin Lahakshos to agree with Reish Lakish's position on the case of Gidim Shesayfin Lahakshos, namely that you don't go Boser Asher, rather you go Boser Besof, you look at the way things are in the future. And all that happened, position taken by Reish Lakish of look at the way the things are in the future, Rabbi Yochanan himself agrees with that position, backing out of any idea that you would go Boser Hashta. And the reason for Rabbi Yochanan not following an opinion of going Boser Hashta, because if you see that in Tanaic literature, be aware that that represents a Shitas Yochid, an individual opinion that's not accepted by the majority. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we look at the side, we have a Noseya topic heading, Shviras Etzem B'Korban Pesach, the general topic that will be dealt with, and you'll see that this topic is quite lengthy. This topic extends, covering the balance of today's shiur, which will, in effect, take us to the top part of Daf Pehe Omen Aleph, the issue of the breaking of the prohibition, of course, of breaking the Pesach, Korban Pesach bone. Hashover etzem bePesach haTor hareze loyke arboyim. The Mishnah says one who breaks the bone of a Pesach that has remained undefiled, it's Torah, it's still pure and undefiled. So the breaking of a bone would result in loike hareze loike arboim, he gets 40 lashes, which is an indication that he's violated a Torah prohibition of a negative command. The pasuk says ve'etzem loisish beru boi avol hamoiser b'tohor v'shoiver b'tomei eino loike es arboim. One who leaves over meat of a korban pesach that is tohor, and certainly if it's tomei, the leaving over of the meat, or the breaking of the bone of a tomei korban pesach, of a defiled korban pesach, is not subject to the 40 lashes. The Gemara. Bishlam Mamoiser Bitar, I understand the Mishnah's leniency with regard to leaving over of meat in a tohor korban pesach, even though one shouldn't leave over the meat, and in fact there is a negative command regarding that. Nevertheless, I can understand the exemption from the lashing penalty, the sanya, based on what we see in the following Tanaic source. Let us point out, we'll see two opinions in this source, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov, both agree that there is no malchus for the act or the phenomenon of leaving over korban pesach meat. Now, why is there exemption? That is a machlokis being reviewed on Rabbi Yankiv. But both, everyone agrees that there are no malchus, as our Mishnah teaches. Desanya, loisosir mimenu ad boiker, vanoisir mimenu ad boiker, v'chule. And the continuation, the etc. of this pasuk is, that which you leave over till the boker shall be burnt in fire. So the pasuk says, don't leave over till the morning, and then that which is left over till the morning. There's a seeming redundancy in this pasuk, or extra terminology, that we'll speak about in a moment. This pasuk is actually giving me presenting a positive command, namely burn it in the fire. Coming on the heels of a negative command, lomar, this structure, this scriptural structure of a positive following a negative, tells me she'ein loike, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that the Torah is telling me that one will not get malchus. This we call alav hanitak la'asei. That means, generally speaking, a negative command that's violated, for example, do not eat pork. Well, if one eats pork, he is subjecting himself to a penalty of 40 lashes. However, in the event that the Torah prescribes or commands a positive act following the violation of a negative command, as is here, do not leave over Pesach meat. And then the pasuk goes on to say, well, if you left it over, you shall burn it. That's a positive command. So that structure of scripture is telling me no malchus. The term lav hanitak laseh means, this is an example of a lav that's been removed from the standard realm of negative commands, which result in lashing, and are placed into the realm of positive commands that don't have lashing penalties. In other words, if one, for example, does not put on his tefillin in the morning or all day, if one lets a day go by and doesn't put on tefillin, so he's violated a positive command, but there is no malchus for that. Rabbi Yankiv Oimer, lo min Hashem, who said that's not the reason for the malchus exemption, namely that it's followed by a positive command, elo, mishum dahavi le'lav she'ein bo imaisa, but rather because the leaving over of the meat is a violation that is accomplished, we'll say, passively. The ein lokin olav, since it's ein bo maisa, what happened? He had a korban pesach and he simply passively sat by, didn't do anything. And the meat, because the time limit for its consumption lapsed, he is considered having done something wrong. But his doing, so to speak, is not even an accurate expression. He has simply violated through passive behavior, through the non-eating of the meat and allowing the time to pass. So we have explained why Moiser B'tor is exempt from Malkus. That was mentioned in the Mishnah. What about the other point mentioned in the Mishnah? Elav Shaver B'Tomei Menolan. From where do you know that the breaking of the bones of a Tomei Korban Pesach is also exempt? Now here, there's clearly an action was done, the act of breaking the bone, and yet there's exemption. And we know that the Pasuk in the Torah says, Ve'etzem lo sishbru bo, you shall not break the bones. That's a negative command. So in response to the question, Minolam, from where do we know this? So the Gemara says, the Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, Ve'etzem lo sishbru bo. You shall not break a bone in it. And the word bo is a limitation expression. Bo means bekosher, in a kosher and an acceptable korban pesach, that one has remained tahor, v'lo bepasul, not something that has become unfit. Tonu Rabbanan. We see a Tanaic source that will be followed by a very, very extensive, structured section of Gemara. The source says, V'etzem lo sishbru bo. Bo equals bekosher, v'lo bepasul. Torah is warning against the breaking of bones in a kosher Korban Pesach, but it is not warning against the breaking of the bones in a posel Korban Pesach. Rebbe Omer. Now Rebbe is going to say something that will appear very similar, and the Gemara's job will be to figure out what is really the difference. Rebbe Omer, V'bayis echod ye'ocheo v'etzem lo sishbru boi. That's the posel with regard to the Korban Pesach. You shall eat it in one location, and don't break its bones. Kol haroy lachilo yesh bo mishum shviras etzem. That which is fit for eating has with it the accompanying negative command of breaking the bones. V'shein roy lachilo ein bo mishum shviras etzem. However, that which is not fit for eating does not incur a negative command against breaking bones. So on the Tanakhama said no violation in a case of something pusel. Rebbe says there's no violation of bone breaking with regard to something that's ein roi lachila, not fit for eating. Now a very superficial person would think, well, something that's categorized as pusel and something that's ein roi lachila are one and the same. Well, if they were, so you wouldn't have both opinions presented in one Tanaic source. Therefore, the Gemara is forced to ask the question, my binai, what's the difference? What's the difference between something that you call pusel versus something that you say is ein roi lachila? Now, you'll notice here we're at the bottom of Omen Aleph, but this is the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. We have a series marking. You can see there's a house form and a double underline. The house form, in this case, will introduce a series of names, and the double underline will highlight the expression ika binayu, or the expression that indicates what is the point of difference. Now, as we continue, and we recommend scanning ahead to Omid Beis before we start the text itself, notice how extensive this sugi is. So if you allow your eye to scan ahead, you'll see a number of house markings, and if our numbering is accurate, we'll be numbering up to 7 different approaches to explain the difference between the Tanakhama and Rebbe. As we go through the Gemara, though, a number of these approaches will encounter there will be a dismissal of the opinion preceding it, hence the continued suggestions. Each subsequent suggestion will reject the preceding suggestion, and how do you reject these suggestions? By pointing out that which the previous opinion held was a point of difference, we will say, each subsequent opinion will say, no, that which you said is a point of difference is not going to be a point of difference. And when we say not a point of difference, means there will be agreement between the Tanakhama and Rebbe. Now, when we say there's agreement, the agreement can go in two directions. Either there's agreement, everyone agrees that there is no prohibition in breaking the bones under whatever you have suggested, or everyone is in agreement that there is a prohibition. But the main point is that whatever was suggested by the previous opinion as being a point of difference, it won't be a point of difference. So that you can see through the use of triangles that appear on Omid Beis, but as you scan over the whole Omid, you'll see how the triangles appear in two different directions. Either everyone is agreement that there is no prohibition of breaking the bones, and that will be highlighted with the triangle point facing up. And when you see the inverted triangle, that will highlight that everyone is in agreement that there is a prohibition in the breaking of the bones. But as we said, each triangle is introducing a rejection of the explanation presented by the previous opinion. Now that we have a bird's eye view of the sukkah, you can see how long it is. It goes to practically the end of Omid Beis. Let's now turn to the Gemara itself. Second line from the bottom of Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, my binayu, what's the point of difference between Tanakhama, the first opinion, and Rebbe? Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, Pesach haba betumo iko binayu. The case of a Korban Pesach that's brought when the community, when the entire Jewish people are Tomein. As we've discussed extensively in previous Shiurim, if the robe of the Tzibor is Tomei, so everyone will bring their Korban Pesach in a state of Tuma. What is the law regarding Shviras Etzem, the breaking of bones, in such a case? The Gemara goes on to say, we say, Pesach Abba Tuma Iko Binayu, Leman de Omar Kosher. The Gemara continues at the top. Hi, Pasul Hu. According to the Tanakhama, who mentioned the Isser is when it's kosher, well, this is not kosher. Now, what do we mean it's not kosher? The Torah says to do it like this. But nevertheless, Rashi at the top explains, Hi, Pasul Hu, Shinaseh Bipsul. It's a Korban Pesach that was done under problematic circumstances, the tuma duchuya hi betzibur ela shekan gzeres hakosuf lefotron bo. Tuma is pushed aside when it comes to a matter of the public and their offering of a sacrifice. However, when we say duchuya means it's the iser, it's not suspended; it's on the books, but we allow the Pesach offering to supersede the laws of tuma, and in doing so, one is exempt from having to suffer any punishment. However, it's still not considered kosher. Lamandiyam aroy lachila. However, if you establish the Isser of Shvirus Etzem based on roy lachila, well, hainami roy lachilahu. This Pesach Abba Batuma is fit for eating. They're going to eat it. That too is part of the Gzeres HaKosuv, the scriptural ruling is that you shall eat the Korban Pesach Abba Batuma. And that being the case, according to Rebbe, who says things are based on whether it's the Isser Shvirus Etzem is based on it's being Roy Lachila, well, this is Roy Lachila. So according to Rebbe, in the case of Pesach Abba Batuma, as we are taught here by Rabbi Yirmiyah, according to Rebbe, there will be an Isser Shvirus Etzem. Whereas according to the Tanakhama, there won't be an Isser Shvirus Etzem in the Pesach Abba Batuma. Yosef Omar, Ki Hai Gavno, this case, the case of Pesach Abba Batuma, the Kulei Almo, everyone will agree, Ein Boi Mishum Shvirus Etzem. There is no prohibition of Shvirus Etzem. And as we indicated before, the triangle introduces those opinions that explain that he who preceded them as holding Ein Bo. Everyone will be. Tanakam and Rebbe will say there is no Isser Shvirus Etzem. V'hai Ha Posel Hu. This case of a Pesach Bo Matuma, this is a Korban Pesach that's Posel. It's puzzle in the sense, as we explained earlier, but there's no controversy regarding the Isur Shvirus Etzem in this particular case. Ela hoysa lo shasa kosher vinifsal ika binayu. What will be a point of difference is a situation where an animal was had a shas kosher, it was fit, but it became posel later on. L'man damar kosher, ha kosher hu, according to the Tanakhama that says the Yisrus Shrus Etzim is based on something that is kosher, well, this was kosher. Its procedures, its avodas were done, its slaughtering and sprinkling of blood were done while it was still kosher. So in this case, even though right now the korban is posel, there still is an Isser Shviras Etzem. L'mandam aroy l'achila. However, according to Rebbe, that determines things based on that that description. Ha hoshta, this now, lav roy l'achilahu. Right now, it's not fit for eating. Hence, there won't be an Isser Shviras Etzem in this case, according to Rebbe. Abaye Omar. Kol ki hai gavno kule almo ein bo mishum shvirus etzem. As far as Abai is concerned, the case of hoysel shasa kosher v'nifsal, everyone will agree that there is no iser shvirus etzem. My taima, why not? Hashto mihas ha posel hu. Right now, it's unfit for eating. Elo. So then what is the point of difference according to Abaye? Shviras ha'etzem mi'ba'oid yoim ika binayu. The Korban Pesach is offered on the 14th during the day, but it's not to be eaten on the 14th of Nisan during the day. You eat it the 14th of Nisan after nightfall. What happens if you break the bone of the Korban Pesach mi'ba'oid yom while it's still day, the 14th daytime? Well, that will be the point of difference. L'man damar kosher, ha kosheru. According to the Tanakhama that determines on, based on whether it's a korban that's kosher or not, well, this is, in the daytime, this is a kosher korban Pesach, just you can't eat it. But since it's kosher, there is an iser, a prohibition of breaking its bones. L'man damar roi l'achila. However, breaking the bone in the daytime, according to Rebbe, who determines things on whether it's roi l'achilo, hashto lav bar achilahu. Right now, while it's still day, it's not fit for eating. The time for eating is only after dark. So therefore, according to Rebbe, there won't be an iser shviras ha'etzem. The Gemara asks, Meisvei, we raise an objection to our analysis. Rebbe Omer, Nimnin al moyach shebaroish ve'ein nimnin al moyach shebekulis. Rebbe says that you can join together with regard to eating the moyach. Moach is the material contained within a bone. So in the skull, the material contained within the skull is the brain, and in other bones, for example, thigh bones or leg bones, there is marrow inside of them. With regard to both of them, the term moach is used. So Rebbe says you can join together in eating a korban pesach when it comes to the moach in the skull, but you can't join together regarding the moach in the kulis, which is one of the leg bones. Al moyach sheberosh maitaimo. Why, in the case of the brain, which is the material in the skull, are you allowed to eat it? It's after you slaughter the animal and skin it and open it up, you can get to the brain without breaking bones. It can be gororo, as you can draw it out without breaking a bone. V'i salka daitoch shvirus ha'etzem mi'ba'od yom shapir domi. If you're going to say, as we try to say within Rebbe's opinion, that the breaking of the bone while it's still day does not present a problem, that there's no problem breaking a bone while it's still day, kulis nami, with regard to the kulis that Rebbe said you can't join the eating of the Korban Pesach with regard to the marrow in the kulis, why not? Kulis nami nisbrei mibod yom, take this leg bone, break it while it's still day, when Abaye had explained there's no prohibition, v'nafkua l'moyachti day, and remove the marrow, v'nimnu alei, remove the marrow from it on the 14th of Nisan in the daytime, and let that also be meat to which someone can join in eating the Korban Pesach. Amar lo Abaye. Abaye responds. Now, this response is a long response. So you notice we have a long marking. Abaye responds and says, Ulitamech, according to you that you're trying to ask on me from this source where Rebbe says, Ein nimnin almoyach shebekulis. So I say to you, Mishachashecha, Nami, well, after darkness, also there's actually a way to open up bones without violating Shviras Ho'etzem. So even from darkness, at darkness, you could have suggested, instead of asking on me from the case of Mibod Yom, why not break it Mibod Yom, you could have raised the suggestion of eating the marrow in the Kulis bone after dark. How is that? Nisi Gomrasa. Gomrasa is a coal. You bring a hot coal, the Nechus Ale, place it on the Kulis bone, the Nikla, that will burn open the bone, the Nafko Lemoyach Dide, the Nimni Ale, and remove the marrow and have that available for someone to join in the group for its consumption. The Ha'tanya, we have the following Tanaic source that says, Avol ha'tsoreif ba'atsamos v'machatech begidim ein bo mishum shvir setzem. One who burns bones as opposed to cracking them, one who burns them open, or one who cuts sinews, those two acts do not involve a violation of bone breaking. Elo, my isloch lemeimar, what are you going to say? Like, why does Rebbe teach ein nimnin al moshe b'kulis when there actually is access, technically speaking, there's access to the moach in the kulis. Why not do the gomrasa approach after dark? So what are you going to say? Abai omar mishum poka, rov omar mishum hefsid kochim, de komachsid le biodayim, dil moachil nuro mimoach di day. There are two reasons for the objection of the gomrasa approach after dark. You have Abaye's approach and Rava's approach. We'll go over them in a moment. Miba'od Yom Nami, the Gemara says, by daytime also, we see after seeing that at nighttime, the Gomrasa approach presents a real problem, a separate problem, not a Shviras Etzem problem, but another problem that Abaye and Rava describe. So Miba'od Yom Nami, by day as well, Gzeiro Miba'od Yom Otu Mishachashecha. We restrict doing this approach even Miba'od Yom, in anticipation of your coming to do it at night. And doing it at night represents a real problem. What is the real problem? So we'll go over the Gemara and explain. Abaye, what's the reason that we don't practice Soref Batsamos? Why don't we bring a hot coal and put it on the leg bone in order to gain access to the marrow without violating Shviros or Etzem? So Abaye says, Mishum Poka. We're afraid of cracking. In other words, when you place the coal on a particular spot of this large leg bone, so true, at that spot, the coal burns it open. However, as a result of the laws of physics and contraction and expansion, as a result of a sudden heat change, so another part of the bone may break open. Not be burnt open, but further down, it'll crack. And that would be a problem of Shviras Ha'etzem. So that putting the coal on the bone at this point, the actual burning of the bone isn't a problem of Shviras Ha'etzem, but the resultant cracking that takes place is a problem of Shviras Ha'etzem. And Rava Omar Mishum Hefsid Kochim, because by burning it open, you're very likely going to involve yourself with another problem of ruining that which has been sanctified. The destruction, the wanton destruction of a sacrifice, in this case, the Korban Pesach. Where is there destruction? The Komafsid Le Biodayim, you're physically, you're actively ruining in this case we're talking about the marrow, which in fact is edible. Dilma ochil nuro mimoach didei, because when you put the hot coal on the bone, the burning doesn't stop necessarily just at the bone material, but it might very well burn into the marrow, and that would be considered the burning of kochim, because the marrow is considered food, and you're simply ruining kochim, which is of course forbidden. So just like at night, we don't suggest gaining access to the moch through the gomrus approach. As we continued in the in Abaye in the answer, and by day as well, we don't want you to do that, because if we allow you to do that by day, you might, when in fact by day there really is certainly no problem of Shira Sa'etzim according to Abaye within his explanation of Rebbe, but nevertheless we make a gzera, a restriction, so as you don't come to do that at night. We continue. Rav Papa Omar, Kol ki hai gavno kuli almo yesh boi mishum Shira Sa'etzim. As far as Rav Papa is concerned, that which Abaye presented as a point of difference, namely Shvirus Etzimi Ba'oli Yoim, is a point of difference. Rav Papa says, no, that's not going to be a point of difference. Everyone will agree that there is an Isur Shvirus Etzim. Breaking the bone on the 14th daytime is a negative command. My time, oh. Why? Le'urta Mechsi Lachila, because at night this very Korban Pesach is going to be fit for eating. So that even Rebbe, who says that if something is ain't a roi lachilo, this is roi lachilo, just a little bit later. Ella, so then what is the point of difference as far as Rav Papa is concerned? Be'ever sheyotza miktsoso komifligi. A limb of the animal, sheyotza, that went beyond its boundary, but only part of the limb. As you know, and we've discussed this often in previous shiurim, that there's something called an Isser Yotze, and a korban is not allowed to leave its boundaries. In the case of Kotche Kotchim, they cannot leave the temple courtyard. In the case of Kotchim Kalim, including the Korban Pesach, it cannot leave the walls of Yerushalayim. Let's say part of the limb extended beyond the boundary. So what is the din regarding the breaking of the bone? So we continue. Man diomar kosher, the Tanakama that says that the Isser is based on whether the korban is kosher or pasul. Hai nami kosher hu. Rashi. Hai nami kosher, share hapnimi kosher. The inner part of that limb, the part that has remained within the wall of Yerushalayim, is kosher, vare hu shovro. And now you're breaking that particular limb. The oiver mishum lo sishbubo, and that's a violation of the negative command. Elo, what are you to do? Look, as far as the meat on that limb that's outside the wall, so that certainly cannot be eaten. But the part of the limb that remained within the walls and its accompanying meat, that is to be eaten. So what am I to do? You make a cut into the meat of surrounding that particular limb until you get down to the bone level. The kolef, and then peel away the meat that was outside. Until you get to the joint. The chotech, and then you dismember the joint, namely that limb that went partially outside, and remove it. The chotech, and remove it at that point. We mentioned a moment ago that you kolef, that means you peel away the meat that's on the limb, the part of the meat that was outside the wall, so that you have to dispense with, and the meat that remained within, so that part you eat. But as far as the breaking of the bone itself is concerned, that's not going to take place. Well, all of that is as far as the Tanakama, who said that matters are determined on whether it's kosher or not. So since it is kosher, you don't have any option of simply snapping the bone at the point that it went outside. Uman diomar, the Gemara continues, Uman diomar roi lachila, Rebbe who says things are based on roi lachila, hai lav bar achilahu. The limb at the point that it went out, we call at the point that you would want to break it, well at that point it's not fit for eating. Kedesanya, Rabbi Shmuel, Benoi Shel Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer, Eiver Shiyotza Mitzaso V'Shavro. Rabbi Shmuel says that a limb that went out of its boundary and you broke it, Ein Bo Mishum Shvias Etzem. There is no breaking violation. And that is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and Rebbe would agree with that. If we take a look at Rashi, Dibor Mas in the middle of the Rashi column, Hai La Barachilahu, Bemokum Shvira Einu Roi Lachila, at the point that you would be breaking it, namely it's at that point that it went outside the walls, it's not, you can't eat the meat over there. Avol, Ever Shiyotza Kulo, a limb that went entirely outside its boundary, Dahainu, Hoy Solo Shas Hakosher V'Nifsal, that's an example of something that was fit when it was processed, but in the course of time it became unfit, the Kule Almo, Ein Bo Mishum Shvira. As far as everyone is concerned, Rav Papa will tell you that that there is no Isser of Shvira Satsim. Now this expression of Hoysel Shasa Kosher V'Nifsal, we saw this earlier as in Rav Yosef's opinion. He presented that as a point of difference. Abaye presented that issue of Hoysel Shasa Kosher V'Nifsal. Abaye presented that as saying everyone would agree, Ein Bo Mishum Shurasa Etzem. And Rashi here is explaining Rav Papa as telling you that everyone will agree. Like Abaye said, Ein bo mishum shvirus etzem dahashtamia posel hu. We continue in the Gemara. Rav Sheshes bereid Rav Idi Omar kol ki hai gavno de kulei almo ein bo mishum shvirus etzem. Rav Sheshes, in his disagreement with Rav Papa, says that everyone will agree in the case of the Ever Shiyotza Mikzoso, everyone will agree there is no Isser of Shvirasa Etzem. The High Ever Ha Posel Hu, this particular limb is a limb that's unfit. Ela Shvirus Ha Etzem Be No Ikobinal. Now, the Posek says low, it says in regarding the preparation of the Korban Pesach, that you're not allowed to eat it no umevushal b'mayim, that you cannot eat it in the no state. No will take it to mean to be basically practically raw. It's something that's under roasted. We'll refer to it in our discussion as practically raw. Let us say you have a Korban Pesach that was not roasted fully. It's under roasted, so we'll call it gnaw. And you break the bone of a Korban Pesach like that. So according to Rav Sheshes, Brei Rav Idi, this is the point of difference between Tanakama and Rebbe. Ma domar kosher, ha kosher hu. According to the Tanakama, this is a kosher Korban Pesach. Technical problem in how long you roasted it, but the animal is a kosher Korban Pesach. However, according to Rebbe, that bases his opinion on roi lachila, hashta eino roi lachila, this is not fit for eating. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar kol ki hai gavno yesh bo mishum shir setzim. As far as Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok is concerned, everyone will agree, even Rebbe will agree, that there is an Isser of Shiras HaEtzem. My time, well, but you can't eat it. And Rebbe says it has to be Royal Achilo. He says, well, the Hochozi Achilo, it is fit for eating. The Matfi Levi Ochile, just roast it. Matfi is to roast it more, and go ahead and eat it. So it's fit for eating. Just, you need to do a little more roasting. The point of difference, according to Rav Nachman, the point of difference between Rebbe, the Tanakama, and Rebbe, is the breaking of the alyo. The alyo is the tail of the lamb brought as a Korban Pesach. The lamb has what's called a fat tail, and that is something that is in a Korban, the alyo of a sheep sacrifice is put on the Mizbeach. It's to be offered on the Mizbeach. So let us say you broke the Alyo. that is going to be the point of difference. Lemandam or kosher, ho kosher hu. According to the Tanakama that says the Isur Shuras Etzim is whether it is acceptable, it's a kosher sacrifice. Well, the aliyah is part of your kosher sacrifice. Lamandam Aroy Lachila, according to Rebbe, that bases the Shuras Etzim on whether it's fit for eating. Hi, the aliyah ain't Aroy Lachila. The aliyah legavoa salka, it's not fit for eating. It must be offered legavoa to the Almighty. Rav Ashi Omar, kol ki hai gavno, vadai ein bo mishum shuras etzim. As far as breaking the aliyah is concerned, everyone will agree, including the Tanakamo, that there is no etzim, shuras etzim violation. Daha vadai ein o royal achilo klal. It's not fit for eating whatsoever. Elo aver she'ein olav kezayas basar iko binayu. A limb upon which there is not an olive quantity of meat. So let's say you have a limb that has very little meat on it, and we break that bone. Well, that's going to be the point of difference. Lamadim or kosher, the one who says that there's an Isur Shuras Etzim, if the korban is kosher, well, ha kosher who? This is kosher. Lamadim or roi lachila, bo inon shiur achila valeka. According to Rebbe, who says that the Isur of Shuras Etzim is determined on whether something is roi lachila, well, this particular limb doesn't have the minimum quantity that constitutes an act of eating. In order for there to be an act of eating in halachic terms, you'd have to have an olive quantity of meat. Being that it lacks that, there is no Shuras Etzim regarding that particular limb. Ravino Omar, kol ki hai gavno les be mishum Shuras Etzim. As far as Ravina is concerned, that example is not a machlokas. It won't be a point of difference because everyone will agree that there is no bone-breaking violation, the bo'inon shi'ur achila, that in order for there to be a violation, you have to have that minimum quantity in place beforehand. Ela eiver she'ein olav kezayas boser b'mokoyim zeh, v'yesh olav kezayas boser b'mokoyim acher. Ravina says you have to imagine a limb that at the point that you're breaking it, there isn't a kezayas basar. However, further on that very same bone, or that particular limb, further on there is an olive quantity of meat. And now I break the bone at a point at which there isn't the olive quantity. So basically the issue is, do you focus at the point of breaking, or do you focus on the limb in totality? That will be ikabina, the point of difference. Lamadam or kosher, ha kosher, according to the Tanakama, well, this is a kosher limb, and therefore there will be an isser of breaking the bone. Lamandam, according to Rebbe, roi lachila bo'inon, that the standard is based on roi lachila, shiur achila b'mokim shvira v'ha leka. In order for there to be a violation, one would have to be breaking it at a point where there is a shiur, a quantity of eating, and that you don't have in this case. So as you can see through the markings, this is the last, Ravina was the last of the seven explanations as to what is the difference between Rebbe and the Tanakama. And now, Tanyo Ka'arbo Minayu, our numbering system was important in anticipation of this source, which speaks, in anticipation of this section of Gemara, which speaks about, or presents a Tanaic source supporting four of the seven opinions that were presented by Amoroyim above. Desanya, Rebbe Omer. Babayas echod ye'ochel v'etzem lo sishbru bo. Al ha'kosher hu chayov v'enu chayov al apostle. Now this is a direct quote of that which we saw at the bottom of Omer Aleph. This was Rebbe and his analysis of the pasuk. However, what is meant by kosher versus where you're chayav versus posel where you're not chayav? So in order to explain Rebbe's opinion, you see in this Tanaic source, there are four explanations, and you can see we've numbered them off. So the following are Tanaic explanations. Hoysolo shas hakosher v'nifsal b'shas hachila ein bo mishvum shvirus ha'etzem. That would be like Rav Yosef had presented matters, something that had a shas hakosher. And you'll notice that Rav Yosef was above, he was answer number two. That's exactly what he had said when he mentioned his Ika Binayu. If you want to go and look above, you can see five lines from the top where it, the Gemara said, Hoiso Shasa Kosha Benifsal, and the double underlined Ika Binayu that you see over here. And at that point, Rav Yosef had said that according to the Mandam of Roy Lachila, right now it's not Roy Lachila, and therefore there's no Isser Shvirus Etzem. And that happened to be Rebbe, the Roy Lachila analysis. And that's what you see over here as being an explanation of Hoysolo Shasa Kosher, one will not be Chayev. Number two, Yesh Bo Shiur Achila, if there is an eating quantity, namely a Shiur Kezias, on the limb, Yesh Bo Mishum Shiur Se'etzem, Ein Bo Shiur Achila, Ein Bo Mishum Shiur Se'etzem. And that will parallel Rav Ashi. So if you scan your house markings and you find Rav Ashi's approach, he said that very point. The regard Aver She'ein Olav Kezias Basar will be the point of difference. And according to Rebbe, one would be exempt, as you see right here, Rebbe saying that if it's Ein Bo Shiur Achila, there's no Isur Shvir Soetzem. Number three, Haroi Lemizbeach, Ein Bo Mishum Shvir Soetzem. And that conforms to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok's approach. And he had mentioned Shvir Sa'alya. So if something is fit for the Mizbeach, in other words, it's going to the Mizbech, and you're not going to eat it, well, Ein Bo Mishum Shuras Etzem, it's not Roy Lachila. And number four, Bishas Achila, Yesh Bo Mishum Shuras Etzem. Now, Shas Achila, that was Abaye's approach. If you go back to where Abaye's double underline appeared, and he mentioned Shuras Etzem Ibo'od Yom. Ibo'od Yom is not the time for Achila. So Rebbe here is telling you that only Bishas Achila after the darkness sets in, the beginning of the 15th of Nisan, then Yesh Bo Mishum Shua Setzim. Shalo Bishas Achila, if it's before that, it's the 14th during the day, it's a time you're not allowed to eat it. Ein Bo Mishum Shviras Etzem. There is no violation of bone breaking at that point. As the Gemara goes on, a Machlokis Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is presented, and you will see that it revolves around one of the points of analysis that we saw just before. In fact, Ravina's point of analysis, namely, an Aver Shein Olav Kezias Basar B'Mokom Zeh V'Yesh Olav Kezias Basar B'Mokom Acher, Ravina presented that as his explanation of a machlokis between the Tanakama and Rebbe. That very case happened to have been argued about between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. On the side of the Gemara, we have our Noseh, our topic heading, where we've written under the Noseh, Machlokis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish be'inin Isser Shviras Etzem. They will have a Machlokis concerning this topic of bone, the prohibition of bone breaking in a Korban Pesach, Etzem Shein Olav Kezias Basar B'Mokom Zeh, where there is no olive quantity at the point of breaking, V'yesh Olav Kezias Basar B'Mokom Acher, but further on that particular limb, there is a Kezias quantity of meat. The Gemara will present Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and then the diamonds that you see in the Gemara, and under our Mivneh heading, we explain they represent two kushos al Reish Lakish. So we'll see a kasha, a problem raised by Rabbi Yochanan here, number one, and later on Pei Hei Amud Aleph, you'll notice at the upper part of the page another diamond, number two. The Gemara, Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Rav Shimon Lakish. The Etzem Lo Sishbru Boi, we have a Tanaic source that says, quotes the Pasuk, that you shall not break the bone of the Korban Pesach, Echot Etzem Shiesh Olav Kezias Basar, whether it be a bone that has an olive quantity of meat on it, v'echod etzem she'ein olav kezayas bosar, or be it a bone that doesn't have a kezayas bosar. My ein olav kezayas bosar, what is meant by that phrase, that there isn't an olive quantity of meat? Ilemo di ein olav kezayas bosar klal, if you say that it doesn't have an olive quantity at any point, there is less, as far as the, when you look at this limb in its totality, there is not an olive quantity. Amai yesh bo mishum shvus etzem. Why should there be any prohibition? Rashi says, bein the Rabbi Yochanan bein Reish Lakish kezayis blin, and whether it be Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish, there has to be the presence of a kezayis. There has to be this minimum shear on the limb. So if at no place on this limb there is a kezayis, why would the Tanaic source say, why would the Tanaic source indicate that there is an Isser Shvirus Etzem? And the source had mentioned, whether it be one with an olive quantity or one lacking, there is an Isser. So, just we're sounding a little repetitive, but if the entire limb in its totality doesn't have an olive quantity, why would the source indicate that there's an Isser when we know Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, both of them necessitate the presence of a kezayis? The question of where it is. El olav hachikoma. Rather, it must be understood as follows. Echod, namely the Tanaic source. Echod etzem sheyesh olav kezayis boser b'mokom zeh, whether it be a bone where there's an olive quantity at the point you're breaking. V'echod she'ein olav kezayis boser b'mokom zeh v'yesh olav kezayis b'mokom acher. Or a bone that doesn't have at the point of breaking a kezayis quantity, but somewhere else on the limb there is. And this source told us that there is an Isser Shvirus Etzem. That is a problem for Reish Lakish. Omar Loch Lo. So Reish Lakish answers, Omar Lay, Reish Lakish answers, Rabbi Yochanan says, not so. Rather, Hochi Koma, rather, understand the source as follows. And before we read it, Reish Lakish will be telling us that the source agrees with me, namely that you, in order for there to be a violation, there has to be an olive quantity at the point of breaking. So what are the two scenarios the source is featuring? As follows. Echod etzem sheyesh olav kezayis bosar mibachutz, whether it be a bone that has its meat on the outside, that's a standard scenario. The echod etzem shein olav kezayis bosar mibachutz, v'yesh olav kezayis bosar mibifnim b'mokom shvira. A bone that, albeit on the outside, there isn't an olive quantity of meat, but there's marrow inside it. For example, in the leg bones, those are large bones, and there's a significant quantity of marrow in them, so that if you break the bone open, you will find an olive quantity of marrow. That's essentially bosar inside. Marrow is edible. It's hence classified as bosar, and you have an olive quantity at the point of breaking, though it's inside, it's internal. Nevertheless, that creates the Isser Shviras Etzem. V'ha Tanya, and here we have a Tanaic source that supports this point, that the Isser Shviras Etzem applies to internal meat, so to speak. When we say internal meat, we're referring to the marrow scenario. Another very significant point in this discussion is that though the marrow is considered meat, and it's so considered meat that it generates the Isser of Shvirus Etzem, nevertheless, we don't apply a certain principle known as Yovo Asei Vidche Lois Asei. The Asei is a positive command of eating Korban Pesach. Why not say that the rules of Torah law generally state that when you have a positive command confronting a negative command, the positive command overrules. So that the most famous example of that is tzitzis, which are made of could be made of wool and linen. So even though the Torah says not to wear shatnez, the mixing of wool and linen, nevertheless, the positive command of wearing tzitzis enables one that in the context of tzitzis to violate the negative command of shatnez. Here too, you have that scenario of an asay, eat the meat, and a negative command, do not break the bone. So one might have thought that, well, since there's a positive command of eating the meat, so a bone that has marrow in it, break it open so as you get to the meat in order to fill the positive command. So in light of all of that, the Torah is telling me, not so. And that's what we see in this source. But the main reason for bringing the source in is to support what Reish Lakish had just analyzed or explained as the two cases of Isser Shvius Etzem, one of them including the case of the marrow inside the bone. That kind of bone being subject to the Isser Shvius Etzem. The Hotanya. Hotanya is in this case a support source. The Etzem lo Sishburu bo. That is the Pasuk. Echod Etzem Shiesh Boi Moyach, the Echod Etzem She'ein Boi Moyach. Whether it be a bone that has in it marrow, or a bone and that says, and here the source simply says ein bo moch, but that needs explanation. Umani mekayim v'ochlu es abosar b'laylo azeh, and what do I do with the pasuk that says, and you shall eat the meat that night? That's b'bosar she'al gabi ho'etzem. That's a reference only to external meat and not marrow. O'eino elo b'bosar she'besar ho'etzem. Maybe the command of the Torah is to include the marrow as well, the command to eat the meat, i.e. marrow as well. And then what will I do with the pasuk that warns against breaking bones? That's as far as a bone that has no marrow in it. But a bone that has marrow in it, that you are to break. Don't be amazed at that. Let the asay of Achilas Pesach come, the Yidche Loisase of the Etzem Loisish Brubo. Well, Keshu Omer, the Etzem Loisish Brubo, the Pesach Sheni, She'ein Tamud Lomar, the Torah repeats the prohibition against breaking bones in the context of the makeup Korban Pesach, the Korban Pesach that's brought for those who didn't bring it on the 14th of Nisan. They bring it on the 14th of Iyar, and the Torah teaches those laws in Sefer Bamidbar Perek Tes, and it says over there the Isser once again of breaking Pesach bones. It doesn't really need to be spelled out there in Pesach Sheni Shrei Kfar Nemar. There's another pasuk in the context of Pesach Sheni makeup Pesach that says Kechol Chukas HaPesach Yasu Oso, that the laws of Pesach Sheni are to be just like the laws of Pesach Rishon. Well, if that be the case, so I know on my own that on Pesach Sheni there's a prohibition of breaking the bones. Why does the Torah say again Lo Yetzem Lo Yishbru Bo? Have Omer, so this extra pasuk is telling me Echod Etzem Sheyesh Boi Moyach, the Echod Etzem She'ein Boi Moyach. Namely, whether it be a bone that has marrow in it, or whether it be a bone that doesn't have in it, it will be subject to the Isser of Shviras HaEtzem. And we don't say Yavo Aseh V'Yidche Lois Aseh. So what you see in this Tanaic source, you can see that the Isser Shviras Etzem includes external and internal, i.e. Moyach. And that's what Reish Lakish had said. However, there's just one point that you don't see in this Tanaic source, but Reish Lakish had added that marrow will generate the Isser Shviras Etzem provided the marrow is at the point of the breaking. Meisvei, we present another source that's presented as a kashan Reish Lakish. So let's just review Reish Lakish's opinion. If you have a limb that has a at the point of breaking, there is no olive quantity. It doesn't have an olive quantity at the point of breaking, but somewhere else on that limb there is an olive quantity. Reish Lakish, his opinion was ein bo mishum shvias ha'etzen, that there's no violation of bone breaking if you break it at a point that you don't have the kezias basar. Well, let's see the question. The question takes a number of lines to develop, hence we call this a long question. Meisvei ever shiyotza miksaso, a limb of a korban pesach that part of it went outside the walls of Yerushalayim, went beyond its allowed boundary. Chotech ad mokom shimagia leetzem, so you cut into the meat till you get down to bone level. The koylef, and you will then scrape, you'll peel away the bosar, the meat that didn't go out. Ad shimagia leperek, until you get to the joint. The chotech, and then cut it. So you have to hold everything in place, because it's bad enough that part of the limb went out. We don't want the whole limb to go out. The part that remained inside, the meat that's on it, is something you can eat. So we make this suggestion: cut down into the flesh, down to the bone level. Peel back the meat that is still inside its boundaries. And then, having exposed the bone and its joint, disconnect the limb at that point, and that's the solution. The e amris aver she'ein olav kezayas baser b'mokaim zeh, the yesh olav kezayas baser b'mokaim acher, ein boy mishum shvira so etzem. If you're going to accept Reish Lakish's position that as long as there is no kezias boser at the point of breaking, it's okay, you can break it. Lomali the koylef ad shemagia leperek v'chotech. Why does the Tanaic source say what it just did? It said that you cut into the flesh and peel back until you get to the joint. Niklof be porta. Why not just, after cutting into the bone of this limb that's partially beyond its boundary, cut down, niklof beipurta, just peel away a little bit at the point that you anticipate breaking it, peel away just a little bit, so you're exposing the bone, and at that point there's no longer any meat on it, finisper, and break it. So the source doesn't suggest that. It must be that is also a problem, and it's also to do that. The Gemara answers, technically speaking, it's not a problem. However, by doing that, namely not peeling till the joint, you're running into another problem. Abaye Omar Mishum Poka. We're afraid that if you break it there, as opposed to detaching it from the joint, you're going to end up splitting the bone. And you'll end up splitting it to a point where there is meat. And Reish Lakish agrees that where there is a kezias quantity of meat, there's an issur of shvirasa etzem. So don't do that. Rather, peel back till the joint, and you circumvent, or say preempt, the problem of poka, of cracking. Ravina Omar Bekulis. Ravina says the Tanaic source that speaks about the aver shiyotza miksaso is talking about a leg bone, the kulis, and as such, it's a bone that has a lot of marrow in it, so that if you don't peel back to the joint, the point at which you would break it will be an Isser of Shiras Etzem, even according to Reish Lakish, because since there's a lot of marrow there, you're breaking at a point there is an olive quantity of marrow, i.e. meat, and that would be Isser in and of itself. Therefore, the Tanaic source suggests peeling back till the joint and doing as we described above. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.